Hey guys, welcome to Bonus Thoughts. My name is Kevin Prescott, and behind the computer / iPhone is John Lash.
You don't even want to see the setup right now. I guarantee you, you do not want to see the setup right now. But we're
it's
live.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
We did it.
Thank God for
with
Black
God.
Magic. Thank yes. God for
All
Black
things
Magic.
Are possible.
Our, my favorite company.
Lord.
And sitting next to John Lash is our lovely missions coordinator, Joe Leeser. Joseph, how you doing?
Okay, can you actually say my real name, though, because we're like
Joe
live?
Leeser, come on.
That is not how you say it. Hi, I'm Jaleesa Joseph. Thanks.
Tell him.
And so last week, obviously, was Easter weekend, and it was
Easter online, historic day in the life of at least the American church.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah.
The
yeah,
first
yeah, yeah,
time
yeah.
I think there's ever been an Easter completely
and,
online.
And
yeah,
John, you were
nation.
Preaching You were preaching on John 19,
I
and
I did.
It was flicking the switch.
Oh,
now, John,
I was like, where are you going with
I
that?
Know. I was so confused. I was like,
is Kevin about to cuss right now?
No, flip the switch. Otherwise, you'll break your fingernail.
That's
flick the switch, you know.
But
John, what were your bonus thoughts?
Yeah,
on last weekend?
My bonus thoughts come to you courtesy of my son and Prince of Egypt. We were watching as the quintessential millennial Jewish. A lot of you know I'm from a Jewish background. I follow Jesus, Christian pastor. Welcome to the new world. And so we were watching as I feel as a rite of passage for our people of our age demographic. I was introducing my son for the first time, my wife and I were, to the Prince of Egypt. And so in the movie, you know, the whole message, if you missed it, you could check it out on the podcast. You can check it out on YouTube or whatever. But the whole premise of the message was highlighting the beauty and the hope that is found in the gospel. And the words from Jesus, it is finished, on the cross. And I was really struck by something in the Prince of Egypt movie, which is basically the story of the Passover of the Exodus, that I had never thought through in the same way. And it was during the movie at the very end, and they were talking about the blood. You got to put the blood on the doorpost. It's like Exodus 12. And so God says, and I never thought about it like that. The Prince of Egypt mentioned, they're like, oh, yeah, and every single male firstborn is going to be gone, is going to be killed. Right. Unless the blood is on the doorpost. And I was like, wait a second. Yeah, that is what God said. In my mind, I always thought he said every single Egyptian firstborn male. But that's not what he says. He says it is an indiscriminate reality that the hard-hearted stubbornness of Pharaoh, symbolic, has brought upon the entire people of the region. Every single firstborn male, unless the blood, obviously symbolic there, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, is on the doorpost. And where it took me is, snap. From the very beginning, God, you know, to be biblically clear, God has a calling on the Jewish people.
Of course.
It's not because we were the best. If anything, it's because we were the least. That's what God says in his word. And because if God could do something with us,
yeah,
it's like, oh my, he could do something with anybody. Like,
everyone.
It has to be the Lord, you know, but. But there is a calling there. But we see even as early as Abraham, God's heart, which is that he says to Abraham, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so I'm sitting there watching Prince of Egypt getting hit misty-eyed because I'm like, this is the gospel. God's like, listen, let me be clear. It's not just y'all. It's everyone. Every single firstborn male is done for, but if you put the blood on the doorpost. So it got me thinking. I'm like, you know, right. I wonder if there were Egyptian families who watched the first plague, and then they watched the second plague, and then they watched, and by plague number five, they're like, all right, bump it. Like, what do we get? This God's for real. And they start watching Jewish people in Goshen putting the lamb on the doorpost. They're like, I don't know what they're doing, but honey, go find a goat, because go find a lamb, because we're gonna do that too. Like, I wonder if there were other firstborn saved because it wasn't about the culture. It was all about the lamb. So those were my bonus thoughts that I've been chewing on this week. I'm like, man, Jesus is so good. God is so humble. He'll take anyone who's willing. Anybody who's humble enough to say, okay, I can't do it on my own. Okay, wave the white flag. I surrender. Any single person that comes to him, Jesus is like, oh, yeah, it's finished. As soon as you're even willing to respond to all the work has already been done. All we have to do is flip that switch. So, yeah, I was pretty astounded by Jesus and his goodness.
Man, that's really good because, okay, as you're saying that, I'm thinking that over time, right? Over time, you're wondering, like, okay, over time, as people saw first plague, second plague, all these things happening, that it's like over time that they started to recognize, oh, wait, like this God is like no joke. Like this thing is like real. And then it makes me think about modern Christianity today, right? Especially here in the Western world or here in America, where nominal Christianity is becoming very normal and is becoming the standard, where we're not seeing like as many people like full of the Holy Spirit, like on fire for Jesus. And not to say that people don't have their walks with God, not at all, but
of course.
I was that too. I grew up in the church and definitely was a nominal Christian.
Sure. You look at Book of Acts.
Yeah, you see Book of Acts. It's all throughout.
God's adding to their numbers daily.
Right, 100%. 100%. So not knocking where anyone's at, just honestly speaking truth, and this is the reality of where we're at, especially here in America, that it's like, I wonder if, like, what if that we don't have the plagues, but we have the fire of Jesus inside of us.
We also have the plague, singular.
We do.
Singular.
We have coronavirus. But what if? So what if during this plague that we have right now, right? What if the fire of God, the goodness of God inside of each and every single person that confesses that Jesus is Lord and Savior was ignited? Ignited. Just like the same that the Israelites back then, they believed, they trusted God. They would see that the Egyptians, all this that was happening to the Egyptians, but the Israelites were safe for the other plagues, right? For a lot of them. So it's like, what if that was us? What if we were like in our peace, in our joy, in the way that we look at this plague, pandemic that we're in right now, how many more people would look and see that and be like, hold on, wait a minute. Like this Jesus must be real. Cause how is it we're in the middle of a global pandemic
and all
of
my people,
right? All these Christians are like, fine. And all these Christians are like, man, like I trust God and they've lost their jobs or they're seeing people get sick from this. And they still have hope. They still have joy. Like what in the world, what is that? I want that. Like, you know, how beautiful would that be to see that lived out right now? And we have an opportunity to do that, to show, live out the resurrection. Like Jesus died, but he rose again to give us new life. He defeated death. He defeated all the things of the world. So can we also walk in that now? And the answer is yes, we can. Let's do it. And let's see how it changes the world.
Come on, Jaleesa.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, I thought this Easter message was very interesting because normally Easter messages are very, very hyper directed towards like people who don't typically go to church because this is the one time a year it's be nice to Jesus time, you know, and you come to church on Sunday. But what was so interesting about this Easter, and I mean, not just the fact that we were all meeting online, of course, which was interesting, but the fact that the message I felt like was not just something for like someone who doesn't go to church all the time. I think there was a very interesting practical lesson in the illustration of flicking the switch or flipping the switch, which was, you know, I don't remember exactly who said it. Might have been you, might have been Mike Patz up in Gainesville, but when they were kind of doing the analogy, you know, of flipping the switch, when you need the light to be turned on, you don't need to go and spend another $1 million laying out the infrastructure every single time. You flip the switch.
It's already done.
Because it's already been paid for. It's already been taken care of. And I think as believe, like, you know, as someone who has been walking with the Lord for so long, you know, over 10 years now, and there, you know, of course, it wasn't just walking with the Lord. It was also growing up as a human being, which in of itself has its struggles and its challenges and its surprises and lessons.
Sure.
Just you make mistakes. Yeah. It's just what happens, right? And when you make a mistake, when you sin, there's that huge temptation of like, oh man, I can't talk to God. I'm too dirty. I there's this barrier, right? And the best thing you can do in that moment is to run to God. And it's as simple as flipping the switch, saying, Lord, I messed up. I need to repent and I need your forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus already knew about it. He already died for it. It's already gotten taken care of. But sometimes in those moments, we like think it's more than that. Like Jesus has to die on the cross again or something dramatic or Jesus can't forgive you. That's it. That was the last sin. Sure. And the enemy just will play on that narrative and keep you away from God.
100%.
But you just got to flip the switch.
And I love that you mentioned that, John. I love that you mentioned in the sermon that, like, hey, Jesus isn't going back on the cross. It is finished. It's already done. He's already paid the price. He's already atoned for it. And he's already given the gift. You know, he's already, it's already, the lamp is already plugged in.
Right.
Yep. Like, it's already plugged in. You don't have to get plugged in.
Power bill, FPNL bill is paid in full.
It's done. Like, it's done. Like, just accept it. And I think, honestly, just to speak, I think, to a lot of the people that might be watching or listening to this that I think have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and in my opinion, I think it's harder. It's harder to flip the switch on the longer you've been walking with the Lord, because you get in rhythms. And you get in rhythms and you get in certain things with God, and it's like, all right, like, we're good. And so when certain things come up, and I think, you know, just even for me and being in a season like with the Lord of, like, when certain things come up that you didn't expect, it's like, or the Lord is taking you deeper into deeper walks on some of the same stuff, you're like, no, Lord, we've been here already. Like, we're good. Like, I don't know. The lamp is on. Like, we're good. And the Lord's like, no, like, it's actually off. Let's go here. And it's harder to do that because it's like the curse of knowledge. Like, we feel like we know.
Sure.
We feel like we have that relationship already. And it's like, no, there's so much more and so much deeper that we can go with this resurrection. Because like you said, it's not just for people that are newer with the Lord. Like, whether you are 5 minutes or whether you are 50 years with the Lord, we are all dependent. We all have to continue to be plugged in. We all have to every day choose to flip the switch.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why the ultimate call to, like, I posted a little video on our Instagram story this morning. Just had it in my heart, was praying for our church, was praying for everyone who did respond. By the way, so thrilled. We had a ton of guests. I know I had a bunch of friends and family and relatives that came. So thank you guys, any of you that joined us on Easter. Like, your presence was just a gift. We love you. Pray that you sense God's presence and were encouraged and inspired by experiencing worship together and hearing about God's love and his goodness. But
shout out to my sister.
There we go. One time, my best friend Jordan, my Uncle Richie, you know. One of the things that I really, I was really chewing on this morning was challenging, calling, reminding our people of the daily necessity of keeping that light on, you know. And so one of the ways, one of the things that we do with that is jumping into the Bible every single day, like staying in God's word, saturating ourselves in his truth. Because the reality is, if you follow Jesus, it is finished is your reality. Like, it's already done. It's already, the bill's already been paid. The wires have already been laid. The conduit is already established. All of that's done. The problem is not the sufficiency of the sacrifice. The problem is our short-term memory. Like, we have spiritual ADD. That is a reality of the human condition. And so getting daily in God's word helps keep you in touch with the fact that the light is on.
Yeah.
It helps keep you in touch with the fact that the power is available. It helps keep you in touch with the fact. And so that's where I'm praying that, especially in the midst of this pandemic right now, where if you don't have young children, you probably have a lot more time on your hands. If you do have young children, what's the Hunger Games symbol? I'm about to do that with my hands, but I'm doing that with you in my heart right now. That's what I'm doing in my heart right now. Yeah. But outside of that, we do have more bandwidth. We do have more space. If there's anything you can give yourself to in this moment right now, man, give yourself to devoting and really consecrating, setting apart, creating a habit of daily God-seeking.
Yeah.
Every single morning in God's word and in prayer, talking to God and listening to God. I think that's going to be a game changer. But anyways, Jaleesa, can you grab your phone and log on to this in case people are asking questions?
Because
none of us have devices on.
Yes. So
We're total rookies in this game.
I wanted to go ahead and preview this weekend, which was kind of the point of this bonus thoughts, which is...
By the way, we do this podcast every single week. It's like a follow-up to the sermon. It's additional thoughts from the sermon. It's general updates on the church. We talk culture. Yeah. We talk politics before. Yeah. We kind of go wherever. It's Jesus and faith and life and discipleship. Yeah.
So we were gonna basically preview what's gonna be coming this weekend.
Let's do it.
With the Black Magic equipment that we have here.
Do you get a little royalty check from that?
Yeah,
it did not work this evening, in case you're wondering.
It did work. But it's questions about Christianity.
Yeah.
And a lot of the tough questions, and one of the reasons why we have Facebook Live and Instagram Live going on right now is for you guys to type in some questions so Jaleesa can pick up a few of them on your phone and we can answer them. So I actually have two questions to start us off with. One is if you start recording on Instagram Live and your phone was locked and it was in the horizontal position, but then it's appearing on everyone's phone like this, as Robbie Johnson just pointed out to me on a text, is it too late to pop into the phone real quick and fix it?
Oh, is that happening to me right now?
Yeah, exactly. Look.
Bless the Lord. Oh, that's awesome. You guys, I'm just trying to help everyone get flexible so you can kind of crane your neck a little bit.
Okay, you're going to go take care of it.
This is so funny.
No. You got to unlock your phone. You got to not unlock your phone. You got to unlock the positioning of your phone.
Okay,
so that way it can adjust.
Is it better now?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. We appreciate that.
No, you put it back. You put it back. You got to keep it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Jump on
Facebook. So that's the first question. Helpful to know. But the second question is this, John, and this is just to kind of start us off as questions are coming in. I think a lot of people have a hard time with hell in Christianity. That's a tough one. And so what is hell? Why is it even a place? And why would anyone go there?
Sure. That's a good question. And let me establish sort of where we're going. So this weekend, we're calling it Talk Back Sunday. It's basically, if you've ever had wonderings, musings, questions about Christianity, about the way of Jesus, about God, about faith, and you're like, man, how come pastors never talk about this? How come churches never talk about this? I'd love to hear. That is what this Sunday is all about, so we're kicking it off here. You could submit any questions that you want answered. You could submit them all week long. You might need to mute that.
There
you can submit them all week long on Instagram, on Facebook, or those would probably be the two best ways to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure we hit those. But yeah, please send in your questions if you have questions that you want addressed. I'll start with hell. Hell no. Hell yes. Hell was actually talked about by Jesus, I think, as much if not more than any other subject in the Bible, to be clear, which is surprising for most people. Like, Jesus was all about love. He never talked about it. I'm like, which Jesus have you read? Because the one in the he talked about money a ton, and he talked about eternity, both eternal life and eternal punishment. So it's not a question biblically if you believe in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you esteem Jesus. It's not a question of if hell is real. I think a great question would be, what is hell? People go in different ways with this. Is it just metaphor? Is it a reality? What are we dealing with here? What is clear in Scripture is that hell is a place that you do not want to be.
Yep.
It's a place of eternal, never-ending punishment, and it's a place of eternal isolation, both from God and the parable Jesus tells with Lazarus and the poor man, it seems from people as well. It's not some party where you're like, man, I'm going to have a blast. Like, nobody wants to end up there. That's where Scripture was abundantly clear.
Yeah.
As to the question of why would a loving God send people to hell, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said it, who's a great Christian thinker, highly recommend checking out some of his writings. But he basically said, hey, God doesn't send anyone to hell. He said, God is so merciful and God is so loving and God is such a gentleman that he allows people to make that decision for themselves. And so basically, which sounds interesting, so this is where he went. He said, if someone has decided with their entire life, God, I want nothing to do with you. Back off. Give me my space. I want to do my own thing. Stop trying to run my life. How unloving would God be to then force them for eternity to be stuck with him? What God is giving people in hell, which is an eternity separated from God, is simply the eternal ramifications of their earthly decisions and lifestyle. God's like, okay, I mean, I love you. I want to be with you forever. I've got great things for you. I've got incredible things in store. But if that's not what you want, I'm not going to force that on you.
Yeah.
And so I think that is real. Is it real? It is real. It's biblically real. There is a place like that. Yeah. I think it's also interesting when it comes to North Americans, because we have a very different view than, for example, if you're going to be over in some of our brothers and sisters in persecuted aspects or areas in Africa or in the Middle East, you know, they're experiencing deep persecution, murder, injustice. Right. And so they're like, man, please tell me God is coming back to judge human traffickers. Please tell me they don't just get a free pass. And so I think we often are very duplicitous in our thinking. We're like, that's horrible. There needs to be justice. And then God brings justice. And we're like, how could you, God? Why aren't you loving? It's like, wait a second.
Right.
You kind of have to be honest with what you really want. So anyways, that was a long answer to the question. Are we getting any other specific questions from there? And how much more time do we have? We said we wanted to keep it at
We're
20 minutes.
We're at around 20 minutes.
But let's see. Okay. Let's see. Let Jaleesa
hit one question from there, and then we'll. Yeah. I think we might do one more of these during the week, and then please, I'm serious, send all your questions in as soon as you get them to get the best shot to have them answered this Sunday.
Yeah.
So, we don't really have any questions.
We just got
here.
People saying what's
we
up.
Just got people
Who do we have to say
hi.
What's up to? Who's out there?
Let's see.
It's Robbie Johnson,
have...
appreciate you calling out our technical ineptitude there. Appreciate that.
Uncle Rob, can I tell the story? No, I'm not going to tell the story about Uncle Robbie. Anyways, I probably will get a phone call and text if I do. Let's see. Hi, Jarrell. What's
up?
Oh,
I love Jarrell.
Daniel Kurzweil, Mr. Kurzweil. That's so weird. Oh, I always call him Mr. Kurzweil.
I see his icon right there. I thought that was him.
Let's see. Angelica, my friend from Gainesville.
Oh, I love it.
Let's see who else. Sarah, what's up, Sarah? Listen, my microchurch is showing out on here. I'm
Shout
so
outs, representing.
Shout out Come to on. My microchurch.
Representing.
Let's see. Someone asked, so this happens every Monday. Yes.
Yes.
We do bonus thoughts every single Monday. This is the first time we're doing it live.
As you can tell.
Which is obvious if you saw us on Instagram and had to switch over here. We're working it out.
We're going to get really good at this by the end, though.
We are. Oh, yeah. But our really podcast is on there. So we do have bonus thoughts podcast if you go to Greenhouse, any of our
If you go to the podcast app, search Greenhouse South Florida.
You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on the Apple podcast. And you can also find us on the Google Play Music Store for Android.
Spotify is
universal.
You might switch your cell phone device, but that's fine. That's another story. Let's wrap it up.
One last question. I think based on your answer, and it's actually a question I always had.
Okay. I'm gonna let
Jaleesa
answer.
How does one define evil, and why doesn't God just get rid of all the evil in the world?
Wow, of course you swung this one to me.
Jaleesa? simple question. I don't see what the big deal is here. I mean,
The question in play right now is what is evil and
how does one define evil?
Yeah, how do you define
God
evil?
And
why doesn't God just get rid of evil? Man, I'm going to answer the second one first. Because if God got rid of evil, he'd have to get rid of all of us.
And you be gone. And I be gone. And you be gone. And you be gone.
Because,
no more bonus thoughts. No
you
more
know,
thoughts.
That's right.
In reality, evil is really anything that is not good. I think in society, we have kind of said like, oh no, certain things are evil. But to certain people, like, hey, a lie can feel evil to them. You know what I mean? Like, depending on what someone lies or what someone says about, or that can come across as like, that can be really hurtful or damaging just as much as someone getting punched or something. You know,
right. There
are different things. So I think when we say something like evil, you're talking about just like an intentional hurt, an intentional, just honestly opposite of anything good. And honestly, we've all done that.
Right.
In different ways. We just all have. So I think if we were to say like, hey, God, get rid of all the evil, so that would include our evil thoughts. So even if we don't act on it, we have maybe thought of evil things. If you've experienced any hurt or any pain, some of you guys know my story and my trauma and hurt. You know that there are a couple people that at some point I might have thought like, oh, you know what, Lord, if I ran him over with a car, we'll be okay, right? Because it's justified.
Right.
But no, it's evil. It's an evil thought.
Right.
I didn't act out on it, but it's still evil. Do I deserve to die for that evil thought?
Right.
So I think what God is merciful. God is merciful.
Patient.
He's very patient, and he's very loving, and he's very kind with us. And that's exactly what Easter is all about.
Mm.
Like, God knew we were separated from him from the jump, right? We messed that up. And he knew we were going to continuously keep messing it up. And he didn't start over. He didn't wipe it all away. He was like, no, I'm going to love you in spite of.
Yeah.
And I'm going to love you so much in spite of, to the point that literally I know you can't make up for all your evil.
Right.
You can't do it. There, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Just for your own evil, for John's own evil, he can't make that up. For my own evil, I can't make that up.
I'm a pastor, so...
He's
if my
great.
Wife is watching right now, she's gonna type in the chat LOL.
I think
you know
when people say evil, Hitler's evil, you know, and war is evil, and I think we just so murder, it's evil. But what I loved about what Jesus had to say in the Sermon on the Mount is you say murder is evil, but what is murder without hatred? Right? oh, wait a second, hatred or anger, yeah. right? Okay, yeah. who now stands under, you know, adultery, you know, cheating on someone, evil, yeah. right? But what is that without lust?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then who's going to, so, you know, are you going to stop at the action level? Are you going to stop at the thinking level? Because if you want to honestly get rid of all evil, God only has to really
and,
do
and
one
I
thing.
Think I'd take it one step deeper than that. We get this as humans, and yet we're duplicitous in our thinking. At the foundational level, we already do this. In our justice system, we have objective standards that define for us what's evil and what's good, what's right and what's wrong,
right.
what is law-abiding and what is breaking the law.
Right.
On the yeah. human level, now we've derived a lot of that from the Bible, to be clear. Not all of it, but a lot of it. On the human level, we talked about this in our series about justice. On a human level, justice, if you're using biblical terms, which we do, we follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you would use those terms. Then justice is to do what is right according to who? You? Me? I? Now it's some moving target, sliding right. scale. Justice, biblically, evil, mm-hmm. good, biblically, is to do what is right in the eyes of the judge, i.e. God.
Right. Right.
So evil isn't some subjective, can we? And this is what actually unites us as humanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we see this, sociological studies have found this bizarre connection across all these countries and continents and cultures. They're like, what's up with all of these seemingly intrinsic human values
yeah.
that you think wouldn't align, and they're all aligning? It's because God, scripture tells us, has put eternity into the hearts of men. And so I think mm-hmm. it starts with God.
Yeah.
The problem is, we can't do it, which yeah. is why God so loved the world that he sent Jesus.
Right. And thank you, Lord.
Come on, somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, somebody.
How good.
Thank you
good
guys for
God.
Joining us.
So great.
Thank you for yeah. coming and hanging out on
testing
a Monday
out.
Evening. Being the guinea pigs with us. We yep. are going to keep getting better at this.
Someone yep. said live is better. Loving this. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Good
yeah.
feedback.
So, alrighty, guys, that's all the time that we have for today yeah. for Bonus Thoughts. Thanks for tuning in. Of course, mm-hmm. we'll see you guys this Sunday.
Yes,
yeah, at
in 9:30
and 11:30.
Yep.
Please send online. In your questions online. And make sure that you guys attend your micro churches this week. We'll see you guys around.
See you online.
Adios.
Love you guys.